You're listening to the Hour of the Time. We're coming to you live tonight from a makeshift studio while in the process of moving. We did not plan to be live tonight. However, recent events has made it necessary for us to impart to you something that's looming imminent in the near future. First, I would like to tell all of you who ordered the Luxor videotape, The Source of Light, that about in the middle of our editing process, one of our editing decks broke down. We had to send it to Sony. It's been at Sony for a little over 2 weeks now, and we're just waiting to get it back so that we can finish the editing. If you believe that you've waited too long to receive your copy of the Luxor tape, simply drop us a postcard with your name and address and how much money you sent to us, and we will be happy to research your order. And if you did indeed order the Luxor videotape, we will cheerfully refund your money. We apologize for this delay. For those of you who are willing to wait until this tape is finished, I think you're going to be absolutely amazed at what you're going to see. Also, those of you who ordered the catalog from Surplus and Stuff in St. John's, Arizona, the Preparedness Equipment and Supplies Specialist, the catalog is ready and is being shipped as we speak. For those of you who would like to call and talk to the people at Surplus and Stuff, you can call the order line. Now, this is for orders only, folks. The order line, 1-800-788-3320. That's 1-800-788-3320. Let me say that one more time. 1-800-788-3320. Everybody who put, I'll tell you, hundreds of hours have gone into the creation of this catalog. It was all done by a few people in a stuffy back room around a Xerox copier, and it is beautiful. It's about 86 pages long. Let me tell you some of the stuff that's in here. Let me see, pages 2 through 12 are body gear. It's all clothing, warm weather gear, cold weather gear, camouflage dress, boots, hats, everything that you can think of, towels, sleeping bags, all of that stuff. Pages 13 through 24 is field gear. 25 through 31 is cutting gear, every kind of cutting accessory that you can think of. 32 through 38 is accessory gear, all the accessories that you'll ever need for a survival situation. 39 is rappelling gear. Pages 40 through 41 is kit gear. That's first aid kits, shaving kits, all kinds of kits, every kind of kit that you can think of. 42 through 45 is map gear, map reading gear, compass, dividers, rulers, parallel rulers, everything that you need for map reading and for finding where you're at and where you're going in the wilderness. Page 46 through 51 is office gear, anything you need for administrative reasons or for writing, you know, all that stuff. 52 through 58 is communications gear, shortwave radios, two-way radios, ham radios, every kind of radios you can think of, scanners. Page 59 through 63 is solar gear. You can completely solar equip your home, your cabin, your car, your RV, your boat, your batteries, your campsite, whatever you want. We have it. Page 64 is power gear. That's batteries, generators, that kind of thing. 65 through 69 is food storage. All the food storage that we've been offering on the Hour of the Time is available through this catalog. Page 70 is an emergency supplies list, which you can go down and check off the supplies that you have, and it will also tell you the supplies that you don't have that you need to get. Whether you get them through this catalog or not is of no consequence to us. We want you to get them from somewhere. We want you to survive what's coming. 71 through 83 is educational gear, books, videotapes, audio tapes. You can order audio tapes by catalog number of the Hour of the Time through this catalog. Page 84 is the order form. Inside back covers the Declaration of Independence, and the outside back covers the United States Constitution. I'd like to thank John and Rosalie Gill, Tim, and Timmy Les Brantz, and everybody else who had a hand in preparing this catalog and making it a reality. The people in St. John's, when they found out I was putting the research center over there, wanted to know how they could help. I asked them how their business was. They said not so good. I suggested they put together a catalog and make the prices so low that the listening audience could benefit truly from this catalog. It would help their business. It would help the listening audience. It would help me get established in St. John's, Arizona, and everybody benefits from this mail order catalog, folks. You can do these things in your hometown, too, if business is not so good. Put your heads together. Don't wait for the state or the federal government to help you or subsidize you or anything else. Put your heads together. Come up with something like these good people did. Put it into operation and make it work. I'll tell you, there are some bargains in here that that I have already taken advantage of, to tell you the truth, and I'm sure that you will also. To get your catalog, send $2 to mail orders, Post Office Box 3300. That's P.O. Box 3300, 175 East Commercial Street. That's P.O. Box 3300, 175 East Commercial Street, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3300, 175 East Commercial Street, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Now, please, folks, don't write to me at that number. That's for mail orders through the catalog. It's also to order your catalog. And if you don't have $2 to send for this catalog, then you don't have $10 to order anything in it, so don't bother. Okay? And don't bother complaining about the $2 for the catalog. It actually costs $2.27 a piece to put together, and that's not counting the mailing cost to mail it to you. These people have decided to absorb that themselves. So, give them a big hand. When you get your catalog, you're going to be real happy with it. And those of you who have already ordered, wait until you see this catalog. It's very professionally done. It's beautiful, and it has everything in it that you could ever possibly need, should you ever need it, as a matter of fact. And we know that we are going to get into a bad situation, and that's what tonight's program is all about, folks. Inflation, the silent thief. The Federal Reserve creates inflation by reversing the process used to create recessions and depressions. You see, to create a depression, they withhold money from the economy. In other words, money is scarce. If you need a loan, it's very hard or impossible to get. And many of you who have small businesses who have tried to get small loans during the last couple of years know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, inflation is created by exactly the opposite. In other words, they drastically increase the money supply rather than contract it. This puts more Federal Reserve notes into circulation. Remember, they're not worth anything to begin with. They're not backed by anything. When that extra currency is competing for the same goods and services, prices naturally increase. The monetary powers, with their massive supplies of monetary credit, can also create inflation or deflation overnight by buying or selling large quantities of commodities on Wall Street's open market. They can also capitalize on such engineered price fluctuations. And we have some charts here that we've made up, but we're not going to make them available to you. But we've made them up that show the inflation throughout America's history, and beginning in 1913, after a long downward spiral, it has skyrocketed to more than 160.6%, ladies and gentlemen. What you used to be able to buy with about 7 cents now takes a dollar to purchase. So if you can project that into your normal everyday living, you can see that that means an awful lot. I can remember when a Coke was a nickel, the same size Coke that you get in a can today, and it tastes a lot better. They can also capitalize on such engineered price fluctuations that they create themselves. Just as Hillary Clinton knew that with her proposition of national health care plan for everyone, which would be mandatory, that the stock of the health providers would plummet, these people know that as they create more money and put it out onto the economy, either making it available by creation out of thin air as bookkeeping entries through loans made readily available, they increase the availability of credit, ladies and gentlemen. At the same time, they print more money, and the government spends more money. Now, they'll give you all kinds of excuses why this is occurring, but what I've just told you is the truth. The United States repudiated its international gold redemption obligations in the mid-1970s. The natural tendency for prices when the economy is not controlled is always down. This is because as manufacturers pay off the costs of capital equipment and increase production, resulting in quantity discounts, it costs less and less to produce the same goods, folks. Except for times of war, this was the natural price trend until the Fed came in to stabilize our economy in 1913. Now you have to understand, you have to open your mind, and you have to listen to me very carefully, because whether or not you survive the next year or two is going to depend upon how closely you listen to me tonight. What is inflation? Calvin Coolidge said that inflation is repudiation. The League of Nations issued a proclamation that inflation is the one form of taxation which even the weakest government can enforce when it can enforce nothing else. Inflation, ladies and gentlemen, is any increase in the economy supply of currency or money substitute, not consisting of an equal increase in the stock of gold or silver money. Inflation is not higher prices any more than a brain tumor is a migraine. Price inflation is the symptom of a currency devaluation, just as a migraine is a symptom of a brain tumor, and I gave you clear warning that they would begin to devaluate our money soon. Let's say that the total money supply, or if you were listening to an economist talk, the M1, let's say the total money supply, or M1, is $100, which can purchase 100 gallons of gasoline, and let's say that this society is made up of 100 people, each with $1. Then the government printing press increases or inflates the total supply of currency by 10% while the supply of gasoline remains the same. The M1, ladies and gentlemen, is now $110. So 10% more currency chases the same amount of gas. Remember, folks, the only purpose of a money substitute is to facilitate market transactions. Currency is made to be spent. At least real gold or silver money has true usefulness and doesn't have to be traded, whereas currency is not and never was a useful commodity. So, sheeple, suddenly have 10% more currency in their wallets. 10% more of something which has no other utility but exchangeability. Now, are these people just going to store that extra currency and never spend it? Of course not. It will be spent in a very unique process. You see, folks, everyone will rush out and try to exchange their 10% surplus of currency for goods. Instead of only $1 to spend, they now have $1.10. Let's assume, for simplicity's sake, that gasoline is the only available good. Adams goes to the garage and tries to buy a gallon of gas for the historical price of $1. Brown overhears him and offers $1.04. Adam counters with $1.08. Brown relents to paying $1.10, a price which Adams can match but not beat. Obviously, the garage will no longer sell gas at $1 a gallon, since everybody can and will pay $1.10. Prices are bid upwards, just like an auction, and we all saw the reality of this during the 1970s and the early 80s. Whatever the market can and will pay becomes automatically the new price. So whenever The economy is flooded with new, more money above what the national production deserves. Prices will go up and people will spend more money. Now, instead of gas being $1 per gallon, it is now $1.10. Gasoline did not go up in value, ladies and gentlemen. Prices, our currency, went down in value. I said prices, I meant currency. Gasoline did not go up in value. Currency went down in value. So what's the big deal, you might ask? The same 100 people still got their gallon of gas just as before. Practically speaking, nothing changed. And this is true for only one reason. Everybody in this example got their inflationary 10% windfall at the same time, and everybody got it. In reality, that never happens. In the real world, it cannot happen because inflation is never some natural random phenomenon. Inflation is never accidental, but is always consciously perpetrated by central bankers who know exactly what they are doing. Exactly. You see, only the government benefits from inflation, ladies and gentlemen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10 says, quote, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord, unquote. If the government inflates the M1 by 10%, do you for a moment believe that it will simply send 10 cents to all 100 people, much less at the same time? If government did that, it would receive utterly no benefit from inflating the currency supply in the first place. Rather, the government spends that new $10 itself, and now the outcome is quite different. The government buys 10 gallons of gas. They purchase 10 gallons of gas with that $10. Since the people have not received any of this $10, as in the previous example, they still have only $1 and cannot afford to outbid the government. At this point, the situation looks something like this. The government now has 10 gallons of gas. The garage has 90 gallons of gas, which is the remaining supply, and 100 people have $1 each. Now remember, this is just an example, folks. But it's a real example, comparable to the real world. The people are unaware of the government's currency supply inflation and gasoline purchase. Therefore, they do not realize that their total $100 is now chasing only 90 gallons of gasoline. They will soon suspect that something has changed when their $1 will now only buy them 9/10 of a gallon instead of a full gallon. You see, the dollar per gallon ratio has found a new equilibrium, our price, at $1.11 per gallon. Through this slick process, the government has robbed everybody of 1/10 of a gallon without the use of thugs or burglars. It's so slick that the people rarely catch on and talk about inflation as if it were like the weather. Know this, sheeple. If you can control the currency supply, then you control the economy. We brushed some very broad strokes to clearly illustrate how currency supply inflation operates, but it really is that simple, that simple. The whole point of an honest, stable gold money supply is to ensure that relative scarcity, demand and production, efficiency of goods and services are accurately represented through their actual market prices. You see, prices are information. Any type of elastic currency renders such accurate, honest pricing impossible. Government benefits most from inflation because it gets to spend the newly printed currency first and buy at yesterday's prices. If your salary ever catches up, if it ever catches up, it's way, way down the road, folks. As those of you who paid attention, during the very last spate of inflationary trend have already discovered. What has prompted tonight's broadcast? Between January the 1st and yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, the Federal Reserve has raised interest 3 times. Now remember, I warned you before the beginning of the year that inflation was coming, simply because I listened to the boss, Alan Greenspan. He said on C-SPAN that he did not believe that they could hold back rampant inflation very much longer, and he said that in the fall of 1993 to Congress in front of the Banking Committee. Now, they have raised interest 3 times. All 3 times, the excuse was to hold back the coming rampant inflation. They are preparing the sheeple to accept it as a natural event, like the weather, while they are cranking up the printing machines and flooding the economy with easy, readily available, counterfeit Federal Reserve notes and making non-existent money created out of thin air of more readily available through the loan process, through credit cards, and such. You had better be prepared. And while they are doing this, folks, they are setting you up for a currency exchange, which I predict will happen within this next year and a half. And I'm going to tell you why right now. In Coin World, which is the newspaper publication for those who collect numismatic coins, Volume 35, Issue 1773, April 4th, 1994, this story appeared. Headline, Counterfeit Series 1990 $100 Federal Reserve Notes Mimic Security Devices by Michael Orzano, CoinWorld staff. Quote, within 6 months of the unveiling of 2 new anti-counterfeiting devices on Series 1990 $100 Federal Reserve Notes, good quality counterfeits mimicking the devices were circulating in the United States. That's what Candy DuPont of Intercontinental Bank in Miami said during a March 10th CNBC television report on counterfeit $100 Federal Reserve notes now circulating in Miami and New York City. CNBC reporter Mike Sellert, who did the story on the March 10th broadcast, told CoinWorld that the fakes he saw were printed by the intaglio method and have the security threads simulated with printing techniques. Sellert said it's impossible to imagine that this counterfeiting of $100 Federal Reserve notes isn't government-sponsored. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it, because that's exactly the truth of the matter. The real truth of the matter is that there aren't very many at all, but this story is being circulated to pave the way to make the sheeple believe that a currency exchange will be legitimate. Now, here's what he said again. Here's what he said, folks. Sellert said, quote, it's impossible to imagine that this counterfeiting of $100 Federal Reserve notes isn't government-sponsored, unquote. I continue. A Bureau of Engraving and Printing official confirmed that 1990 fakes have appeared. Robert Cooperman, senior advisor for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a former State Department expert on international terrorism, said evidence shows Iranian and Syrian involvement in counterfeiting approximately $1 billion in $100 Federal Reserve notes. Cooperman said intelligence officials say the goal of the counterfeiters is to buy or underwrite the development and production of a deployable nuclear device. You see how they're setting you up? Everything I wrote in my book 4 years ago is now coming true, and most of you called me a liar. It is now coming true, folks, right before your very eyes, and most of you owe me a very sincere apology. But don't make it. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I just want you to change your ways and grow up and help me save our freedoms. I continue. Coin World first reported on the Iranian-Syrian nuclear weapons connection to the counterfeit super bills in its October 18, 1993 issue. At that time, it was unclear whether any of the high-tech counterfeits had actually begun circulating in the United States. The reference to super bills describes the superior quality of the bogus currency. Cooperman told CoinWorld March 17th that this is equivalent to a national security problem. National security problem. Now, note, in the FEMA executive orders, one of the things listed that can kick off a national emergency and the declaration of martial law is economic instability. Now they're saying that these counterfeit $100 Federal Reserve notes are equivalent to a national security problem. And I continue, we have perfect $100 bill fakes in circulation, unquote. In July 1991, the Department of the Treasury introduced two security devices incorporated on Series 1990 Federal Reserve notes, micro printing and a polyester security thread. The micro printing of the United States of America is around the portrait on the face of the notes, and anyone can see it with a strong magnifying glass. The micro printing appears to be a thin line to the naked eye, but can be read under magnification. The security thread embedded in the paper to the left of the Federal Reserve seal. The strip is printed with USA and the note's value, USA 50 or USA 100, in a repeated up and down vertical pattern, visible when held to a light. The thread cannot be reproduced in the reflected light of copiers, but it can be removed, and I have seen it removed. I have not done it myself, but I've seen people remove that thread from a $100 bill. Now, apparently, folks, the security devices Treasury officials were counting on to significantly deter counterfeiting, they say, have proved vulnerable. I say that it is a scam, and I continue. In a 1991 pamphlet from the Department of the Treasury titled Your Money Matters, the two new anti-counterfeiting features were promised to frustrate counterfeiters. Dedicated and experienced counterfeiters will be frustrated by the difficulty, costly, and time-consuming task of producing notes with a genuine-looking security thread or distinct micro-printing. Sallert said the fake Series 1990 $100 notes he saw were intaglio printed, and the counterfeiters are able to simulate the thread during the printing process. He said officials told him there are apparently three areas on the back of the fake notes that they've been able to pinpoint using sophisticated equipment that may indicate a fake. A line near the numeral 100 in the upper right corner. A line in between words United States of America. A line above the scroll work on the left side of the note. So can one protect himself against receiving a counterfeit $100 Federal Reserve note? If the note is Series 1990 and appears to have a visible security thread, check to see whether you can feel the thread. If not, you may have a counterfeit, or you just may have one of the notes that somebody has removed the thread from. However, be aware that in 1993, CoinWorld reported on the ease of removing the security thread, apparently a popular practice among some teenagers, and, from what I've seen, folks, quite a few adults. I continue. But citizens may also be able to use this bit of knowledge when trying to determine genuine Series 1990 notes. But what about other Series $100 Federal Reserve notes that might be circulating? Probably the best advice is still, when in doubt, refuse to accept any $100 Federal Reserve notes because it doesn't appear the U.S. government will quickly authorize radical changes to the design of the notes. Do you see where this is going, folks? In a world where they want to do away with currency already, they are now beginning to prejudice people from accepting any paper money at all. Therefore, if you don't have good credit, credit cards, etc., 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 you can't exist in this system. So it forces people to join the system, doesn't it? Not if you're smart, and you'll find out how to be smart before this program is over. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing and Printing's Thomas Ferguson told CoinWorld March 17th that the report by CNBC dealt with a more investigative type situation, whereas, quote, we're on the front end, although, of course, we're concerned about all the counterfeits, unquote. Ferguson, Director of Research and Development for the BEP, Bureau of Engraving and Printing, is also Project Director of the two-year-old Securities Technology Institute. Now you're going to see another direction this is going. Ferguson said he and other members of the BEP's Anti-Counterfeiting Steering Committee have been reviewing a report from the National Research Council issued in December 1993. The report indicated that anti-counterfeiting properties of Federal Reserve notes are going to have to become more sophisticated and soon because of the increased availability of a new generation of highly sophisticated reprographic systems. We're narrowing down the candidate features for changes to currency, he said. After the committee reviews the report, they will send their recommendations to Secretary of the Treasury, Lord Benson. But Ferguson said he's not expecting any changes to currency yet this year. BEP Director Peter H. Daley testified before Congress March 4th that the Bureau would make its recommendations in 1994. Cooperman and others have suggested replacing the $100 Federal Reserve note with a new design and creating a two-tiered currency system, currency to be used overseas and currency for use domestically. The overseas currency would use the new design but have a red back, while the domestic currency would retain the green look but still be different. Travelers overseas would swap the greenbacks for red back currency to use while traveling. Cooperman said the government and the media must be more aggressive in describing the faults of the bills. However, Cooperman said nothing will be done until people begin to recognize counterfeiting as a form of a terrorism, that there are a lot of countries out to do us in, and we have to act cleverly to make people. Now, just in case you didn't hear that last paragraph because the tape was being turned over, Cooperman said the government and the media must be more aggressive in describing the faults of the bills. However, Cooperman said nothing will be done until people begin to recognize counterfeiting as a form of a terrorism, that there are a lot of countries out to do us in, and we have to act cleverly to make people understand that we stand to gain by making these changes. Wake up, sheeple. Remember, I told you 1994 will be a pivotal year. A pivotal year. This is when it's all going to start coming down in the fall of this year. Things are going to get very bad for most of us. Saturday, April 9th, 1994, The Washington Post by Bill McAllister. Mideast counterfeiting may hasten new United States designs. Washington, terrorists may be on the verge of claiming a new victim, the United States greenback. Officials at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing said the agency is at work on new designs for U.S. currency amid reports that terrorist organizations may be flooding the world with counterfeit $100 bills. The bogus money problem has become so severe that many overseas banks are refusing to accept the $100 bills. A leading terrorist expert said the counterfeit dollars being produced in the Middle East by terrorist groups linked to Iran and Syria could cause serious economic problems, especially for small nations that rely on the United States dollar. Notice, they said, folks, that the problem has become so severe that many overseas banks are refusing to accept the $100 bills. The reason they said that is because you can check on what United States banks are saying, and we have already done so, and they say they haven't received no unusual numbers of counterfeit bills of any kind. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a scam. It is a lie from the word go. All of it. It is created to manipulate the sheeple into accepting a devaluation of the dollar and a drastic currency change where there will be offshore currency at one value and currency used here by the sheeple at a much lower value. They've done this before, and it's always signaled rampant inflation and the beginning of poverty for many, many people. Don't believe it? Check history. Our research is solid. It's set in stone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's happening, and I'm telling you what's going to happen, and if you don't listen to me, don't cry where I can see you, because I will have no sympathy. While confirming work in a new design, Bureau of Engraving officials were reluctant Thursday to discuss what changes they will recommend that Treasury Secretary Lloyd Benson implement or to link the change to the increase of overseas counterfeiting. Congressional sources said they have been told that the Treasury hopes to announce the proposed changes later this month and said the House Banking and Finance Committee is planning hearings on the issue.
Among the ideas said to be under consideration are moving portraits. Moving portraits to the side, implanting small holograms on the bills, printing on watermarked paper, using multicolored patterns that are difficult for copiers to reproduce, and printing with multicolored inks, all steps other countries have adopted. One of the most dramatic proposals has come from Robert Cooperman, all an expert on terrorism. He has called for a two-tiered money system, now greenbacks for domestic use and new redback dollars painted in red or printed in red for overseas use. Coin World, a numismatic publication which this week disclosed the redesign effort, said it understood the new currency may closely resemble mock-ups made by the PBS program Nova. The Nova dollars included safety features used by many foreign countries, including multicolor printing, a portrait to the side, and watermarked paper. Coincidence, sheeple? Not on your life. The Treasury Department has been reluctant to make major changes in the dollar, leaving the United States with what a Secret Service spokesman described as the most stable currency in the world and the most easy to counterfeit. 2 years ago, the Bureau, that was another lie, by the way, 2 years ago, the Bureau of Engraving introduced two major changes to high-valued currency, extremely small printing called micro-printing, and a polyester thread that also contains tiny, and I can't even read it. Coin World said those efforts had failed to thwart the counterfeiting. Oh, tiny printing. Coin World said those efforts had failed to thwart the counterfeiters, and youngsters showed the publication how they could easily pull the polyester thread from a new currency. Thomas A. Ferguson, the Bureau's research director, confirmed that the agency is close to making final recommendations as to how the new currency should look, but he rejected suggestions the terrorism concerns had prompted the redesign effort. And that, for once, is the truth. They've been planning this for many years. Quote, I can tell you with conviction that we will not make any changes this year, he said, noting that it would take longer, perhaps 2 years or more, to implement any changes. Ferguson said the redesign effort had begun 2 years ago and hasn't changed in intensity because of any outside issues. It really began many years ago. And if this so-called counterfeit $100 Federal Reserve notes were the real reason, he would not have made this statement that the redesign effort had begun 2 years ago. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? Do you understand, sheeple? Figures provided by the Secret Service in interviews with terrorism experts suggest increasing concern within the government. Now, who do you suppose those terrorism experts are, ladies and gentlemen? I would venture to say that it's the Anti-Defamation League and CAN, the Cult Awareness Network. Concern within the government over bogus dollars from abroad. In fiscal 1993, the agency said there was five times as much counterfeit currency produced overseas, 120 million, as in the United States, 24 million. Cooperman said a group of counterfeiters in Lebanon's Banking Valley, directed by Iranian and Syrian intelligence agencies, are believed to have produced $1 billion worth of the most nearly perfect $100 bills that the Secret Service has ever detected. The Secret Service declined to confirm that the claim, saying it could not comment on any ongoing investigation. And I tell you now that $120 million in $100 counterfeit bills is not unusual at all, ladies and gentlemen, and would not even make a dent on this economy, nor would it be a threat to the national security. Again, April 18, 1994, Volume 35, Issue 1775, Bureau of Engraving and Printing working on new note designs, this appeared in Coin World. Again, April 18, 1994. No decision yet on whether to implement by Michael Orzano and William T. Gibbs, Coin World staff. The engraving staff at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is working on proposed new designs for Federal Reserve notes, a Bureau of Engraving and Printing spokeswoman confirmed March the 29th. Although Treasury officials have viewed the designs, no decision has been made when or whether to present any new designs to Secretary of the Treasury Lord Benson for his decision on implementation, according to the BEP spokeswoman. The Secretary has finally final authority over paper money and coinage designs. The BEP confirmation confirms part of what CoinWorld has learned from several independent, reliable sources inside and outside Washington, that new note designs are being prepared and are being shown to members of the Treasury Department. One source says that new designs for some denominations could be introduced into circulation within 2 years. It's not unusual for the Bureau to create new designs that are never shown to the public. Such work went on within the BEP during the Reagan administration under the direction of then BEP Director Robert J. Louver. However, there is some speculation that new designs are now much closer to reality due to a growing threat from high-tech counterfeits. Activity on new designs was stepped up about a year ago, according to the BEP spokeswoman. According to one reliable source, the BEP engraving staff is working furiously on proposed new designs for the $20, $50, and $100 denominations, those presumably preferred by counterfeiters because of their high face value. The BEP would not discuss specifics of the proposed designs in progress. However, two other sources independently described to CoinWorld the proposed designs as having some of the existing design elements, but in different sizes and locations on the note. One source described the new design being prepared for the $100 note as bearing a larger Franklin portrait moved to one side of the face. He said that no new security devices have been incorporated into the note and that the current colors are being used. The same source specifically mentioned that the proposed designs are similar to that shown on a March 3, 1992 public television program about anti-counterfeiting technology on paper money. One design shown in the 1992 NOVA program was for a $100 Federal Reserve note. That privately prepared design features a larger version of the current Benjamin Franklin portrait, reversed and moved to the right of the face side of the note. The proposed design also features a watermark to the left and various high-tech security devices. Another source confirms that the experimental designs feature an enlarged portrait of Franklin set off to the right with a watermark in the field to the left of the portrait. According to this source, a small delegation from the BEP recently paid a visit to Treasury officials to show them the experimental designs, but received little feedback. This design follows a recommendation from former BEP Director Louver, who was interviewed for the NOVA program in which he described the ideal note design. The NOVA program was scheduled for rebroadcast in early April. In a recent interview with CoinWorld, Louver said he's believed for a long time that the most effective note is one that enlarges the portrait and sets it off to the side. He said a registered watermark would be to the left of the portrait, with the Arabic numbers next to the portrait, because that's what people will look at. Louver said he believes Treasury officials have been under lots of pressure in the last 18 to 24 months. The climate is ripe for change. I believe there will be a full court press now to get a severe change to the currency, he said. It comes down to the fact that the reason our currency is at risk is there's been no changes since 1929. And that's bullshit. They'll probably have to develop new design. All the changes have been since 1929, ladies and gentlemen. Our whole money system has been changed. It's been counterfeit. Our coinage has been debased. These are the penultimate liars, deceivers, and manipulators. I continue. They'll probably have to develop new designs and several anti-counterfeiting devices to make it more difficult to counterfeit. Most, if not all, of the current anti-counterfeit devices on Federal Reserve notes can or already have been duplicated, including the security thread used on Series 1990 and 1993 notes. The security thread was developed by Crane & Company, Incorporated, according to Crane officials. Louver said the reason the Treasury decided to go with a security strip embedded in the paper was because Crane is incapable of making a registered watermark, a device used on the currency of other countries. Folks, the printer never makes the watermark. It's made in the making of the paper, and this is another lie. Louver said the process to achieve a registered watermark requires equipment that Crane, which has had an exclusive contract for currency paper with the BEP since 1879 doesn't have. There's nothing special about it, folks. Anybody, even Hallmark, can make a watermark. If you don't believe me, go down to Hallmark Cards and hold their paper up to the light and you'll see it. A Crane spokesman said that Crane has produced registered watermark currency paper since the late 1970s for its international banknote customers. And there they contradict themselves. He said the reason the BEP decided to use the security thread was because of the BEP's desire not to change the outward appearance of the notes. You see, folks, a watermark doesn't change the outward appearance. It can't even be seen unless you hold it up to the light. Another lie. The Crane spokesman said he didn't know if the watermark produced by Crane passed BEP testing and referred inquiries to the BEP. Lie after lie after lie after lie. And all of this is designed to prepare the public, first, to give up accepting large denomination Federal Reserve notes, and number two, prepare them for an exchange of currency and a severe devaluation of the dollar, which could be from anywhere from 10 to 1 to 100 to 1, and all the bets are on 100 to 1. That means for every $100 you now have in the change, you would receive one in return, and that one would have the same value as 1/100th of the ones you lost. You lose, sheeple. You're going to be sheared like you've never been sheared before, and it's just around the corner. You see, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. New currency? I could just hear some of you out there, some of you couch potato airhead sheeple saying, who cares? Huh, who cares? I got my TV, I got my two cars, got me a job. Mm-hmm. You fool. You see, our founding fathers wished to protect this great nation against power brokers who would work for power and thus control over us. And that protection is the real genius of our great Constitution. They also built in there the ways that we could fail provided we didn't deserve to have protection. As friend Richard Russell recently stated, throughout the years, there have been many attempts to get around the Constitution. I might add that of all the schemes to subvert the Constitution, in our opinion, the most flagrant and one they got away with was the creation of the Federal Reserve and its issue of counterfeit or non-gold-backed money. Both the Federal Reserve and paper money are directly against the expressed desires of the men who drew up the Constitution. And that's a direct quote from the Dow Theory Letters, Box 1759, La Jolla, California, 92038. For over 30 years, I've heard rumors to the effect that our government was going to bring out a new currency. I verified this and printed in my book 4 years ago that it would, without any doubt, occur. Some have predicted that we would need to turn in 5 or 10 old dollars for each new dollar. Some reports have predicted that the new currency would be in a rainbow of colors. So far, all of these predictions have proven to be unfounded. So, who cares? Well, folks, we're bringing you this special broadcast to suggest that you had better care, or you stand to be the biggest loser that's ever, ever been around. And that includes in Las Vegas. The latest report, folks, is much more than a rumor. On April 8th, the Washington Post newspaper carried an article which I just read to you with this title, Mideast Counterfeiting May Hasten New United States Design. The article states that Iran and Syria have produced $1 billion worth of the most perfect $100 bills that the Secret Service has ever detected. Using this excuse, the article goes on to state that the Bureau of Engraving's effort to redesign the dollar began 2 years ago. We originally heard of such actions in 1961 and many others in the meantime, but it is now obvious that a change is coming, and you might as well face it. At this point, you're probably saying to yourself, why should I care? What's all this stuff about? Turn off the radio. If the Bureau tells me to turn in my old dollars for new dollars, and it's a one-for-one basis, so what? You might wish to keep in mind that many other such currency exchanges have not been on a one-for-one basis, but even if ours is, what impact might you anticipate? Bah. Well, the same Washington Post article carried the reason for our concern in this matter, and this is it. Robert Cooperman is calling for, quote, a two-tiered money system, new greenbacks for domestic use and new redbacks, dollars printed in red for overseas use, unquote. Now, I hope that you're asking yourself, why a two-tiered money system? Is this a new concept? Or has it been implemented in other countries? The answer is that this concept has been used for many years in many countries and always prior to a major deterioration of the purchasing power of that specific currency. If you've read many of the newsletters that have been put out by our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, you know that one of the major reasons that they're in the precious metal business is that they are anticipating runaway inflation in the very future, as I have warned you about in lectures 6 years ago, and printed in my book over 4 years ago, and have been pounding it into your minds almost weekly on the hour of the time. The important factor here, folks, is timing. So you need to know if the right time might be soon. Now, I suggest that the primary reason for the softening up article in the Washington Post at this particular time and in CoinWorld is that the powers that be do see hyperinflation coming soon, and I told you on this broadcast before the first of the year, in fact last fall, that rampant inflation was coming. I told you to watch for increases in interest rates by the Fed, and since the first of this year, the Fed has raised interest rates not once, not twice, but as of yesterday, three times, exactly as I predicted, ladies and gentlemen. And each time the excuse has been to hold back rampant inflation. The market is feeling what's coming. Watch the market. Why do we believe this to be true? Because in the March quarterly report from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, pages 4 and 5 of that publication show charts of the adjusted monetary base and the adjusted reserves. Now, I have charts in front of me that show that, and I can't show it to you, so you're just going to have to listen closely. The Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, pages 4 and 5 of that publication shows charts of the adjusted monetary base and adjusted reserves. As I see on these charts, during 1992 and 1993, the adjusted monetary base rose at an annual rate of 10%, folks, and the adjusted reserves rose 10.8% per year. Now, the reason I suggest that the new currency is being implemented at this time is that for the month of February 1994, these rates have soared to 21.9% and 44.9% respectively. These items are major factors in the money supply in our monetary system, and as such are forecasters of soon coming rates of unbelievable inflation. As you will remember from Economics 101, if you paid any attention, if you could get your eyes off of Susie for just one moment and listen to the teacher, the price level of all goods in the economy is determined by dividing the total money supply by the total number of goods. If the money supply is increased without a commensurate increase in goods, the price level goes up. This is the cause of inflation, and this is what we are now facing in a huge way. Since the power brokers who control the money supply, and thus the inflationary rate, know this is nearly upon us, doesn't it seem reasonable that they will try to insulate their holdings in U.S. dollars from such devastation? What better way than by isolating them from internal dollars or greenbacks and taking them outside the country by calling them external dollars and giving them a different color, red? Clever? Unique? Not on your life. For this has been done numerous times around the world, but they keep this type of information as quiet as possible so that folks like you will never see it coming and take protective steps. But I am warning you now. Two of the most recent examples of internal currency destruction are Russia and South Africa, and they are recent enough for you to get your head out of the sand and take a close look at it. Now, if you want to take steps to protect your savings from what the power brokers have planned, this is the only commercial you're going to get tonight. Call Swiss America Trading. Call them now. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. With the money you have now, use it while it still has value to accumulate what you need to survive what's coming. And I don't care whether you get it from our catalog or from a surplus store in your town or from another food storage provider or from another precious metals dealer. You just do it, because I don't want to have to cry for you. And also listen to this. This is the last before we leave you. From the Orange County Register, Wednesday, November 17, 1993. Notes show Fed officials wanted to destroy data. Two Federal Reserve presidents have proposed destroying tapes and transcripts of Fed policy meetings to prevent their release to the public, according to Fed notes released Tuesday. House Banking Chairman Henry Gonzalez released the notes taken by a Fed regional banker to heighten his pressure on the central bank to lift the secrecy shrouding its policy making. Now, stop keeping raw transcript. Do minutes, not memo of discussion, and destroy any working tape transcript, St. Louis Fed President Thomas Meltzer said, according to notes from an October 15th telephone conference call among Fed policymakers. Gonzalez is demanding that the central bank immediately release tapes and transcripts back to 1976 from Federal Open Market Committee meetings at which the 7 Fed governors and 12 Fed district presidents set monetary policy. The Fed has refused. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Tonight's program, the information was furnished by my research, the research of CAGI members, newsletters provided by Swiss America Trading, and other sources. Good night. God bless you all. And may God save the Republic.